Let us cover Source of Splendor today as we're led by the Spirit of the Lord. We live in a world where it all comes down to what we have and who we are and how much fame and fortune we've accumulated. It's all about the splendor we created for ourselves. Can I outdo the other person? Is my splendor greater than theirs? We'll learn that there are different sources of splendor and different kinds of splendor depending on the choices we make. One thing is for sure, seeking temporary splendor will be very costly in the end. See, mankind is always searching for splendor and prosperity. In the beginning, it gave God joy to provide some splendor to us. God made David's throne great, and his son Solomon became king, and the Lord exalted him in the sight of all Israel, bestowed on him splendor such as no other king had before. See, splendor is not just about riches, it's about the length of days we have, the greatness of our name, and the honor that's bestowed on us. Receiving splendor is about receiving blessings and gladness and joy and peace from the Lord. It's about having enough so we're not having to search out to anything. We're not starving and we're not struggling for anything. And nothing puts us to shame because we have all that we need. See, many work to develop their own splendor based on their abilities, skills, and knowledge. But when their splendor fails, they fall hard and become a laughing stock to others. They try to build up their splendor without God. And at first it seemed successful, but in the end it did not last. They became a person filled with bitterness, deprived of peace. They forget the prosperity and all that it felt like because it's all gone now. See, when the splendor's all gone, when all their hope has disappeared, they turn to the Lord. This is when the Lord remembers his great love and not consume them because his compassion never fails. See, many believe that they build up their enormous splendor within themselves. They don't realize it was God who adorned them with gold and silver. It was God who allows us to have costly clothing. It was God who gave us food, wealth, and prosperity. And though we believe we built up our own splendor, it was the Lord who created us with beauty and gave us splendor. We were misguided. We thought we could trust in our beauty and we prostituted ourselves with this world. We displayed our splendor so everyone can see it and everyone can take notice of how good. Look at my splendor. Look how big my house is. Look how many cars I have. Look at the jewelry I have. See, we just display our splendor before everyone as if it's all by our own power. We walk around flaunting our splendor with pride. We think we are blameless in our ways, but wickedness has grew up in us through all of this. And though our business thrives, we become full of sin. And though many saw us a success, we became a disgrace before God. See, we looked the like of King Nebuchadnezzar, who believed in his own splendor, greatness, honor, and sovereignty. He was a powerful king. All the people and nations of every language dreaded and feared him. King Nebuchadnezzar did what he wanted to do. He did not need God, he thought. It was in his own power and skill that he's able to do all things that he wanted. Until God stepped in and reduced him to nothing. Go with me to Daniel chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. See, though we work very hard every day, we can never forget that our splendor is a result of the Lord's blessings. It is God working in our lives that allows us to enjoy the things we have. It is not because we become great. It's not because we accumulate a lot of stuff. These things are just temporary splendor. But you and I must live our lives in the splendor of God, an everlasting splendor. Daniel chapter 5, verses 18 to 21 says, "But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, He was disposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of animals. He lived with wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle. And his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over all kingdoms of men and sets all them over anyone he wishes. See, when we seek to live in splendid prosperity, we have to be careful. We must look for that which comes from God and no one else and no place else. See, the Lord teaches us not to worry about clothing. He knows how to clothe his children. See, God wants to bless those who seek him. We don't have to run after what to eat and drink and what to wear every day. Unbelievers run after such things. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. He's the source of our splendor. He's the source of our prosperity. God is. See, for us to experience a splendor that will last, we have to be rooted in Christ and trusting God's promises. When we experience the splendor that is not of God, it only lasts for a short period of time. When trouble and persecution comes, it will fade away. So many have taken hold of the splendor of this world, the prosperity of this world, and it only lasts for 5, 10 years, and then it's gone. People who are bestowed splendor through athletics and through fame and fortune and through the things they create with their hands. And it only lasts. Only a few people can make it last longer than that. Most of the time, it's gone in a short period of time. I don't care if you win the lottery. It's gone in a short period of time because we're seeking after worldly splendor. God commands those who are rich to not be arrogant, to not put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. See, God commands us to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous, to have a heart to share, to lay up treasure for ourselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, for us to take hold of life that is truly life, that comes from God, and everything that comes from God. It's really interesting to see someone who chases after splendor, who chases after prosperity. They go for everything. They move from one thing to another. They seem to not even be settled in their lives. And I'm talking about Christians. They're always grabbing. We are always seeking something to get us rich. We're willing to do anything to be rich, to be able to wear expensive clothing, to have expensive cars and houses. We'll sell our soul for such things. But once we have such things, they become the source of our unhappiness. And then we have to hide ourselves. And we try to hide behind the splendor, hide behind the houses and cars. But eventually the problem overcomes us. Well, we can no longer hide from the truth that's inside of us. See, splendor can't solve our problems. You got to see this. It's no house, no car can solve what's going on inside of you. But we chase after that all the time. But we need to understand there's two major sources of splendor. That which comes from God and that which comes from the devil. We learn God's word that before he fell, the devil was a morning star in God's kingdom. But his desire to be greater than God the Father caused his downfall. See, the devil wanted to use his splendor to ascend to heaven, to rise his throne above the stars of God. He wanted to be enthroned on the most heights of the sacred mountains. See, the devil wanted to ascend above the tops of the clouds to make himself higher than the Most High God. See, the devil tried to use his splendor against Christ Jesus. The devil led Christ to a high place and showed him the world's splendor. He offered Christ all the splendor of the earth. All he had to do was worship Satan. Christ refused the devil's offer. Christ said, "We're only to worship the Lord our God and to serve him. But today we're not turning down the splendor of Satan. We're partaking of all that he has to offer. We're pretending it's from God. But it's not leading us closer to God. It's not leading us into a closer relationship with God. It's leading us away from the Lord. The devil led Christ to Jerusalem and had him stand on top of the temple, testing the Lord. Christ said to the devil, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." When finished tempting Christ, the devil left until another time. See, the devil is not done. He is still tempting God's people with the splendor of this world, and we are eating it up. We're chasing after it as if it's from God. See, the devil uses his splendor to deceive those called by God. He masquerades as an angel of light, so we're not surprised when he's offering us stuff. We should not be overcome by the splendor of this world. And the Lord helps us to see. And we ask the Lord to be in the midst of our understanding so we can see what is from you and what is from the Satan. We don't want anything to deceive us, God. We don't want any splendor from the devil that deceives us. He is a liar. And everything that he promises us, and just like he did you, Lord, the things that he's trying to offer you, he's trying to offer to us to deceive us. The devil is putting his splendor on display for all to see, for all to partake of. The devil's splendor displays all kinds of counterfeit miracles and false signs and wonders, all sorts from evil to deceive the elect. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. Lord, help us see the difference. We have to know whose splendor we're partaking of. Is it from God or is it from Satan? He is offering it, and so is God. But you and I got to have a connection with Christ Jesus. It's the way that you and I know that what we receive is from God. It's how we use it. It's the things we do with it that we know God is blessing us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12 says, "The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so they will believe the lie, and so that all who will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness." The Lord knows where Satan lives. He knows where Satan has his throne. And nothing in this world, no splendor, no wealth, no riches should make us renounce our faith in Christ Jesus and turn to the things of this world. Nothing should be able to do that. No riches, no wealth should be able to deceive us from following the commandments of God. So we must remain faithful witnesses, seeking that which only comes from God. It says there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against Satan and his angels. The devil was not strong enough. He and his followers lost their place in heaven. And Satan is now leading the whole world astray by having us chase after worldly splendor that's not God's splendor. And you and I, we're falling into this trap. We're preaching about worldly splendor, worldly prosperity. That is from the devil. That is Satan. Not all of us are going to be able to have everything in this world, but God said you can store up treasures in heaven. Where mankind's splendor fell, where the devil's splendor deceives, the splendor of God gives us strength. If we ascribe to the Lord's word and ways, to his glorious name, then we can worship, bring offering, and praise the Lord and experience God's splendor found in holiness. In God, there's greatness, power, glory, majesty, and splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is the Lord. All wealth and honor comes from God. He is a ruler of all things. So let us come and give thanks. Let us praise God's glorious name, but take of his wonderful splendor found in Christ Jesus. Lord, we come to seek and experience your glorious splendor in our lives. We come to meditate on your wonderful works. Let us celebrate in the abundance and goodness of God. Let us sing joyful songs to the righteousness of God. Go with me to Psalm chapter 145, verses 5 through 7. Whose splendor are we seeking? Mankind's, the devil's, or God's? Who is the source of our splendor? Where do we get it from? Is it from God or is it from the devil? Psalms chapter 145 verses 5 through 7 says, "They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness." So we see God's splendor in Jesus. When Christ went to pray, his appearance changed. His clothes became bright as lightning. With him was Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and splendor, talking with Jesus. We want to experience God's splendor in our lives, not the splendor of this world, not the splendor of the devil. We want the everlasting splendor of God to be manifested in us. And there are two sources of splendor, I tell you. We have to decide which kind of splendor we're seeking. The splendor of the heavenly bodies is one, and the splendor of earthly bodies is another. Just as the sun has one kind of splendor, the moon has another, and the stars have another. There's different kinds of splendor. See, stars different splendor from star to star. So it will be in the resurrection of the dead. God will bless us with his wonderful splendor found in holiness, and you and I will be able to take of that. We'll be able to feel the splendor of God, the presence of God in our lives. So the body is sown perishable, raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor and raised in glory. You see the splendor of God? The body that is sown as weakness is raised in power. Do you understand the splendor of God? See, the body is sown, a natural body is raised as a spiritual body. Do you see the splendor of God? That is raised to experience God's splendor, is glory and holy. So we have a choice to make. What kind of splendor are we chasing after? Do we seek the kind of splendor that lasts for a little while, created by mankind? Do we seek the kind of splendor the devil has to offer us, that he offered Christ Jesus, which satisfies us in this life but costs us eternal life with God? Will we deny ourselves and carry our cross and seek God's splendor through Christ Jesus? See, splendor that will get us through this life and the life to come. We have the choice to make. We have to choose which splendor we're seeking. Whom will we serve? Whom splendor will we receive? Is it ours? Is it the devil's? Or is it God's? We must seek the Lord as we raise the spiritual body, experience the full marriage of God's splendor in our life. The prophet John shares with us in Revelation the splendor of Christ. His head and hair was white as wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were bronze, glowing like a furnace. When John saw the Lord, he fell at his feet. Christ placed his right hand on John and said, "Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive." Lord, we want to experience your splendor so we can stand and say, "I was dead and now I'm alive." Glory to God, because of the wondrous splendor of God is available to us to bring us into likeness of Christ Jesus. Glory to God. God has made his glory available through his Son so we can experience his splendor in our lives. Praise the Lord. Christ took upon himself the glory of the Father. He is the source of all our splendor. And you and I must partake of it. Thank you, Jesus. We've all been molded to have a desire within ourselves to seek after much splendor in this life. We can no longer seek after the splendor in this world. We can no longer seek the blessings of God and the splendor of God and prosperity of God and then hoard it in ourselves. We have been trained to seek splendor no matter what it takes, no matter who it comes from, no matter who we have to climb over. We want so much splendor we'll go after anything. It does not matter the cost. We just want all the splendor, all the prosperity in the world. Once we have it, we display it with pride. We flaunt it so the world can see. This kind of splendor creates pride and arrogance and selfishness in a person because it's not from God. See, the devil wants us to deceive. He wants us to chase after things that will lead us away from God. We think in the splendor we get is good because we know the riches of this world and we think it's from God. But does it provide us wealth and riches that is from God? Doesn't provide us the joy and peace that God is offering us? Doesn't provide us the heart to share? See, what does your splendor provide you? If it's selfishness, is it pride, or is it an open hand like God is saying? See, when you are able to share, you have peace because you know it didn't come from you. We have to see the difference. We cannot be deceived by splendor and prosperity. There are splendor, and it's created by God. And it creates a kind heart and spirit in us. See, God's splendor will create an open hand and not a closed fist. See, God's splendor will give us honor and glory and not produce pride and selfishness. See, our splendor must come from God. No other splendor can come from anywhere else. It'll corrupt us. We want honor and glory in this life and the life to come. See, the source of our splendor could only come from God and no one else. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your wonderful, splendor, God, has so much involved, God. It's just not about fine clothing, God. Your splendor covers our heart and our mind, our body and spirit. It covers our future. It covers us in eternal life as we store up your splendor, God. We live our lives to experience it, now and forever. Bestow upon us your splendor, God. Guide us into your righteousness. Help us to choose the splendor of God and not the splendor of Satan. Not the splendor of this world. It's the prosperity of God that you and I want. And all that it has inside of us. God, we thank you today. Please guide and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.